It's nice to be back with you, getting the familiar face, huh? I even get a good cup of tea when I come in as well, so that's always a blessing and a bonus. I'm going to talk about a couple of things today. As many of you know, I kind of wear several different hats. One of those is CAP, which is the Christians Against Poverty. And we have a resource table, which will be in the back. So while you're having tea and coffee, Christine will man that for us. And they say there's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, I can't give you a free lunch, but I can give you a free book and a free pen if you so desire. We're very thankful for churches like yourself who do support us prayerfully and financially. And if you don't know much about the story of CAP and you want an inspirational read, then I can recommend this book. It is free. The story of how CAP was founded and kind of the ministry over the last 20 years, it will inspire you and challenge you. And we even give you a pen to write notes if you want to do that as well. You can also sign up for our monthly email newsletter. Very simple, very straightforward. We don't spam you. We don't send lots of information. But if you want to know some items to pray for, if you want to know what we're dealing with, some of the clients where their names are anonymized, but you can still pray for them, then please sign up on the sign-up sheet, which will be in the back. And as Mark said, it's not simply about financial involvement. If you can get involved with the Debt Centre or another initiative, as you'll hear a little bit later, whether that be part of the prayer team, whether that be the visit team, whether that be the blessing team, which taking food actually out to people, and you would be amazed how many people do struggle with the basics of food. Not just in Kenya or India or these other places, but in our community. So if you'd like to perfectly consider getting involved, and I hope you will after today's message, then there's some information out there as well. If you yourself are struggling to make your budget balance and there's too much month left at the end of your money, then some of you got it. We have the CAP Money Course that ourselves and a number of other churches run, including St Andrews. All the information's there. We really encourage people because the better we manage our finances, the more we can save and the more we can give. And that helps God's kingdom. So that's kind of one area of ministry that I'm involved with. Another area of ministry is very mission-focused. Bev and I have our own small charity called Charis Ministries, where we're involved in a number of countries. So this week, for example, I'll be talking to Pakistan tomorrow, talking to one of the leaders there that we partnership with. And in the message, I'll kind of unpack some of the stories. Some of you know I was there a couple of months ago and we saw some incredible stuff that God did, and I'll bring that into the message. So please continue to pray. On Friday, I'm teaching a group of leaders through Skype, which has worked quite successfully, to India. So it's amazing what God can do through technology. It's a lot cheaper than going. It's still important to go, but technology can just facilitate so much ministry and so much opportunity. And these guys do need the encouragement. They do need people alongside them. We have a CAP ministry, we have the Charis ministry, and then I'm involved as part of the leadership of the Elam Church over in Ifield. So we have a fairly busy schedule. So do pray for us. Do remember us as we seek to build God's kingdom in Crawley and beyond. If you have your Bible, we're turning to Acts chapter 5. I'm really going to... Because I'm Irish, I'm going to keep it very simple. And I'm just going to share a little passage and then really talk about three words in this passage. I'm going to pick up from Acts chapter 5, verse 17. So the apostles have been preaching, teaching and healing in a very public environment, and the religious leaders aren't very happy. So we pick up at verse 17. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders, and sent them to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and his chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and determined to make this guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." And God bless reading of his word. And we're just going to pick up those three words from verse 20. Go, stand, and tell. Incredible circumstances where they are preaching, they are teaching, they are doing God's will, but it leads them into trouble. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes doing God's will, it doesn't mean that we float on magic dust and there's never any problems. Sometimes doing God's will leads us into problems. So don't buy into this idea, oh, if you're struggling, that somehow you're not in God's will. Read your New Testament. Most of the people who were doing God's will faced difficulties, they faced conflict, they faced persecution in seeking to do God's will. So don't be surprised. But the angel comes and says, firstly, I want you to go. Because it's so easy when you are in those circumstances, when you are caught in a prison, that even if the prison doors are open, that you stay inside. Isn't that true? And we know later on from Peter, he thought he was having a dream when he was in prison. And the angel had to say to him, get out, Peter, the gates are open. And we know from some of the songs that we sang this morning, we know the victory that Jesus has won for us. And yet so often we live with a mentality, a prisoner mentality. We live with a mentality that keeps us contained. And the message that God consistently comes with is no, go. I mean, let's be honest, 2/3 of God is go. Huh? And yet we are so keen to stay. We're so keen to stay in our comfort zones. Can we be honest about that? That we like our comfort. That if we don't get the chair that we normally sit on. Now, I'm sure that's not true in this church. But every other church I've been involved with, we like our particular chairs, don't we? We like to sit in a particular area of the building or whatever. And sometimes people can get upset over the smallest of things. Isn't that true? The service runs 5 minutes late or 5 minutes early or something changed around and we get upset. But God has a larger picture for us. And that larger picture is in that word go. And in Mark 16, Jesus says, go into all the world. Now the truth about Crawley is that all the world comes to Crawley. Isn't that true? You don't even have to go to India or Pakistan or wherever else. Walk down the street and the world is at your doorstep. So don't think when you hear stuff about mission or when you hear stuff, me going to Pakistan or India or wherever, you think, wow, I could never do that. The good news is for you, you may not have to. But it's a mentality, isn't it? It's a mindset that says, I'll go. And truthfully, sometimes it can be easier to cross the world than it is to cross the street. Because we have all sorts of barriers, we have all sorts of preconceived ideas. Before we went to Bible college, and we had felt even before Bible college that God would use us in different nations and would end up travelling. But before I could do that, God spoke to us and told us that we had to go to our own street. The street where I grew up. Where everyone knew my name, where I'd had clips around the ears because you could do it in those days, I know where you live. Some of you remember those statements from neighbours, huh? I know where you live. I know your mom, I know your dad, I know your family. I had to go to those people. We had to go to our street. And every week we went and we knocked on doors in my street and sought to share the gospel with people who knew me. So the going isn't simply, you know, the other side of the world. Your going may actually be across the street, not across the world. But it's the mentality that says we're going to take the gospel into all the world. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 20, in fact, let's turn there, let's read it so we quote it exactly. Matthew 28, you'll know it, I'm sure. Then Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These are incredible words from Jesus. All authority, all nations, that they might obey all that Jesus commanded. And surely I am with you always. Those are the four always that Jesus gives us. When he says to us to go, he gives us his commission. He gives us his authority. And for you as a church, he's given you a mandate. He's given you authority to reach the people in your network, in your community, in your area. In the same way that he's given me a commission, he's given our church a commission. But it's so easy to sit in church, isn't it, and wait for people to come to us. But Jesus didn't say that's how you harvest. He says, go out into the fields. In fact, he says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Now, there's an encouraging word. Anyone want to claim that one? Huh? You don't see that in the promise boxes, do you? Go, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. But he said, I've given you authority. And one of the interesting things in this passage, Jesus doesn't simply make it all about the going. Going is important because that's a mindset. But actually, the key verb, if you like, any of you are teachers or had a teaching background, the key point is the making disciples. So that's the key bit. And all those other things, the going and the telling and the proclaiming and the baptizing, they're all the things that you do to make disciples. So it could actually be translated, as you are going, make disciples. Isn't that fantastic? Because that takes the pressure off us. Because some of you may think, well, I'm never going to go. Let's be honest. I'll give, I'll pray, but I'm not actually going to go. Maybe it's your stage of life, maybe it's your family circumstances, whatever. You may not feel you can go. But as you are going, make disciples. That's just a whole lifestyle. That's a whole mentality. That's a mindset. That's not about an event. That's not just going on one trip and saying, well, I've ticked that. That's mission trip done. No. It's a whole lifestyle of going and making disciples. And so the question I want to ask you is, who's God sending you to? Who is God sending you to? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's someone down the street from here. Maybe it's a particular people group. I don't know. But ask the question of yourself. Ask the question of the church. Who is God sending us to? Who is God asking us to reach? One of the most powerful times of prayer we had in the church, I would encourage you to get along to the times of prayer and fasting. We've done it a lot as a church. And we'll be doing 21 days prayer and fasting. Daniel fast in January. So it's not a complete fast. Daniel fast, taking the whole church through that, and we've done that for a number of years now, and we've always found it a real catalyst for our year. And during one of the times of prayer, we met together, and God was really speaking by the Holy Spirit, and there was a lot of prophetic input. And as we were praying one evening, I saw a picture in my mind's eye, not literally, but I saw a picture in my mind's eye of an angel in our car park. And the angel had a massive sword, and as he had the sword, he drove it into the tarmac. And you know in those movies where you see the special effects, like the sonic boom going out and it reverberating around? I saw that in my mind's eye, and I saw from our church just that boom, if you like, that ripple effect going out into the community. And at that time, I wasn't leading the CAP ministry. But how was I to know that that going, that that boom, that that movement, that that ripple effect would so much involve me? But God wants us to do that. God wants us to think outside of our buildings. Buildings stop us getting cold and wet, particularly in weather like this. But you know, the church never had buildings for the first 300 years of its existence. So why do we get locked into buildings? Jesus said, go. Who is God sending you to? Maybe part of your going will be to get involved with CAP. You know, we always need befrienders, particularly good female befrienders, people who will be non-judgmental, who will be gracious, who can be available during the day to come and work with us and help our clients get debt free. That's what we do. We go into the community, we go into people's homes, we gather the stuff that is their mess, and it is. There's very few clients are organized. I've met a couple of exceptions, but most clients don't know what's happening. They don't know their circumstances. And so we gather all that paperwork, we give them a budget, and we will work with them until they're debt-free. For some people, that's a few months because they have to go bankrupt. For others, that can take 2-3 years. So it's not a magic wand. But we're going in there, we're praying for people, we're proclaiming the gospel. We had, I think, around 30 people at a fish and chip supper event a couple of weeks ago in the church. Clients and befrienders, people hearing the gospel, and several people made commitments to Christ as a result of that. To me, this is what Jesus is saying. This is the command of Jesus and the example of the disciples. Are we willing to go? Maybe it's not the debt center. Maybe there's other things that you can be involved in. Sean, why don't you come and just share a little bit for 5 minutes about the work of the debt center. Can I use the handheld? Is that possible? You might want to record it though.
Huh? Oh, okay. Fine. Working?
Do we need to turn
it on? Down. Oh, bottom. Hello?
Okay. That's it.
We're in business. Great stuff. Thank you. Hi there. Morning. My name's Sean, and I'm kind of running the CAP Release. Now, I don't know if any of you know about CAP Release. It's designed, as Dave was talking about earlier, to help set the captives free. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, this has been a very helpful tool to help people get release from life-controlling habits. Addictions, bondage, dependency, whatever you want to call it. And it's not just for non-Christians, it's for Christians and non-Christians alike. We found that a lot of people within the church also struggle. Although Jesus came and set us free, we still battle. And there are many things that we can battle from. I'm running a course at the moment. We are about 5 weeks along, and actually they're all Christians. And they're finding it extremely helpful. The idea was born out of the debt side of CAP, because it was discovered that with debt came an awful lot of problems, i.e. addictions, bondage and so on, and dependency on various things that would actually cost them money. And that money then put them into debt. And so from there, we have, CAP has the job centres, it has lifestyle groups, and now we have the CAP Release groups. And the idea of the CAP Release, it was designed and based on the 12-step program of AA and NA, Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, and it's based on that. But obviously, we use Jesus Christ as our centre. If you are non-Christian, and you wanted to come along, that's absolutely fine. And you can talk of your, we talk about a higher power. Obviously, when we're going through this course, we bring Jesus Christ very much to the front. And therefore, we know we rely on him to actually set these people free. I'm there facilitating. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit does the work. Okay? It's to say, based loosely on, it was based on the 12-step program. It runs over a period of 8 weeks. And it's really divided up into about five different sort of sections. It's about community. And that community is where you've got people together in a similar position. They may all have different dependencies, bearing in mind that dependency doesn't necessarily mean drugs or alcohol. You could be, you might be maxing out your credit card, okay? You might be the shopaholic. You might have a food problem, you know? You could have be a chocoholic or whatever. And you, whatever it is you want to release yourself from or be released from, this is designed to help you do it. It brings tools and structures to help you overcome. It's, you know, you can go to the other extreme, of course, where we've got drugs and alcohol as well. So you could have a dynamic in a group where someone at one point is, one side of it is struggling with shopping. Another, at the very end, other end, you can have someone struggling with heroin, cocaine, alcohol, whatever. But this is designed to help everyone. And what we found is that as people come together and we work through this book, people are communicating with each other. They start to talk to each other. They start to help each other. I'm learning. I'm being challenged. Believe me. You know, it's not just for them. I sometimes think that I'm actually in there and it's all for me, not them, you know, because you get challenged. It's a very, once you open that can of worms and people are releasing what is going on inside and explaining and being truthful and honest with each other, because bearing in mind, this is totally confidential. Once you're in that room, nothing that we talk about goes out of that room unless you choose as individuals, not me, but as individuals in there, to discuss it with others. If I meet you in the street, unless you come to me, I don't come to you. Of course, unless I know you already, in which case that's fine. Because the whole idea is that you're struggling to get through something that you may have kept hidden for many years. Okay? So community is very important. The course, as I said, is 8 sessions. It's 12 steps rather, over 8 sessions, 8 weeks. It's about 2 hours long. At the moment, I'm doing it in the evenings. And so we have a time of obviously prayer at the beginning, and then we go through the step of that particular day, and then we have a time of community, which is interaction at the end of talking about it. We have coaching, in other words, we take it a step further than AA would, because we coach people as well, and the idea is that people can have one-to-ones with me or any or other coaches that I might have on board, and that gives them an opportunity to really get to the nitty-gritty, okay? And therefore, we spend time with everybody, okay? We spend time with the group, or I do, because I'm the one sort of holding it at the moment. Okay, celebration. We also celebrate the milestones, because every week could be a very small milestone for any individual. You know, it could be that if someone's overeating, they've cut back on 1 Mars bar a week. You know what I mean? It's all about little pieces, milestones, okay? And we celebrate that, because it's important that people are encouraged in this kind of environment. And confidentiality, I've already explained. It's very much about confidentiality and it's your course. And every course is a different dynamic, and every person creates a different dynamic. Also, ultimately, we use it in part for evangelism. We want to see people who are non-Christians in the group come to know Christ. That's the most important thing of all. But it's so important, so many Christians, when they can have these bondages and these habits and these addictions, but can feel ashamed and embarrassed about opening up and talking about them. You know, I've been there, I know what it can be like, and we are never exempt. You know, it's a process. Sometimes God comes in and zaps somebody and it's gone. Fantastic. I've known that with smoking. Okay, but most of the time, it's a process. And for some people, they might have to go through this course, if they choose to, maybe 4 or 5 times. But hopefully, for a lot, they'll actually get release as we come to the end of that course. But they will certainly have the tools and the equipment to help overcome. So another thing we're looking for is, at the end of the course, which would be in about December, The next one will start probably in around end of January, February, depending on how we set it up. And we're looking kind of for volunteers. I will be looking for someone to help me as a coach. I'm actually looking for a female. Why is that? Because it's, you know, it's good to have both genders. Because I don't know if I'm going to get male, female, or how the group's going to go. We're also looking for befrienders, and befrienders are people who come along and just help support. They encourage. They help people get through. And that is how people get through and out of addiction. Not just by a set of rules, but actually by encouragement and support. Is that right?
Fantastic, man.
Okay.
Thank you. So, as we said, you don't have to go to the other side of the world for any of those things. This stuff is happening in Crawley. It's happening in your community. And so we would encourage you to prayerfully consider. Sean will be around at the end. Get some information of him. Get his contact details. Prayerfully consider it and consider whether you can be involved. We said we were a church focused on mission, yes? But the mission is on our doorstep. There is a need. So I'd ask you to prayerfully consider that. So what's our second word? We've had go. Stand. There you go. Thank you for being awake at that point. That's very helpful. So the disciples literally had to physically go and stand in the temple courts and proclaim a message. Now that sounds very easy, doesn't it? But bearing in mind what happened at the earlier part of Acts, they'd faced persecution, they'd faced jail. This was a regular pattern for them. And so for them to physically go and stand was not an easy thing. Do you know when you teach kids that they have to stand up to bullies as well? It's important to do that, isn't it? It's important that you take your stand. And for them it was physical. Maybe sometimes you've had to teach people. Maybe you've had to do it yourself. You've actually had to stand physically against those who are opposing you. Those who are trying to bully you. Those who are trying to harass you. Maybe even in a work environment you've had to do that. But we also know it was spiritual. Because they didn't want them preaching the gospel. They didn't want... In fact, what a commendation from their enemies. You've filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Wow. Isn't that an amazing thought? Wouldn't it be great if all the civic leaders were able to say to us, "Oh, you Christians, you've filled Crawley with your teaching about Jesus." We've still got some work to do, haven't we? Because we're not there. Huh? The thing that your church has in common with my church and every other church is that they're staying away in their thousands. True. So we have a responsibility to go. We have a responsibility to stand, even when that isn't popular, to fill Crawley with the teachings of Jesus. And we know that Satan is a spiritual bully. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, I'm sure you know it. If you've been a Christian any length of time, someone will have mentioned this. Someone will have encouraged you along these lines. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That is a spiritual truth. If you haven't experienced that yet, then you will. And many of you will experience that time and time again. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Now the thing about a lion, why does a lion roar? It's about intimidation, isn't it? It's intimidation. Because if you're looking for prey, you don't announce your presence. And if you've watched any of those wildlife programs and we're enjoying, is it Blue Planet Part 2 or Planet Earth Part 2, yeah. Brilliant scenery, brilliant camera work, and you just see all the animals and you can see how God's created them wonderfully. But when we've seen stuff on lions roar can carry for miles, because what they're trying to do is intimidate. And that's exactly what the enemy will come in your life, and he will stand in your life and he'll whisper in your ear, or he'll roar in your ear, and he'll seek to intimidate you and say, "You're never going to be free. There's no point you even going to the release course if you have an issue. You're never going to be free. That person who's your neighbour, who you know needs to go, they're never going to be free. What's the point? You're not good enough. No one's going to listen to you." Do you have these voices sometimes? Yes, we all do. We don't always recognise it. We don't always articulate it. But we all have times when the enemy comes in and said, do you know what? Who do you think you are? You're never going to make it. You're not good enough. How can God use you? What sort of Christian do you think you are? Have you ever lost your temper? And then the enemy's been straight in and said, ah, call yourself a Christian? Because he comes and he's trying to undermine, he's trying to intimidate you. Sometimes physically you have to take a stand, but spiritually you might have to take a stand as well. And I would encourage you, if you are facing difficulties, if you are facing pressures in your family or your finances or in your work environment, you just take a stand. We know in Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the armor of God, don't we? And many of you could probably list all those things. The breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of... Well done. You've been well taught by Pastor Jim, huh? But the one thing that people miss is that four times in that passage, what does Paul say? Stand. Stand, and having done all to stand, stand. Sometimes we think, oh, we really have to battle this one through. And God's saying, just take your stand. Just take your stand. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your life. But for some of you, this is a word from God. This is something where you need to hear. Do you know what? I need to stand. We used to sing a hymn. That was a great hymn. Thank you for worship this morning, Ryan. Really good that it was so God-focused. I love that. Because there's lots of times where worship, it's all about our feelings. And there's a time for that. Read the Psalms. But I think in corporate worship, when we're focused on God, exalting Him, who He is, what He has done, that's good. So thank you for that. And that great hymn, Crowning with Many Crowns. But some of you will remember the old hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. Huh? Come on, there's times we need to do that in our life. There's times we need to speak to ourselves and say, do you know what? God has spoken into my life. God has spoken into the life of the church. These are the promises He said. We are going to stand on the promises of God. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:18. He said, wage warfare with the prophecies once made about you, so that you can fight, so that you can stand in the spiritual battle. Folks, what has God spoken into your life? What has God spoken into the life of the church? Remind yourself of the promises of God so that you can take that stand. You're all very spiritual and have been well taught, so you will know that the only piece of armor that isn't mentioned in a Roman soldier's armory is what? There's nothing that covers his back. Because the Roman soldier never retreated. They always went forward. They locked together. And they also expected one another to cover each other's back. So it's amazing to consider what we can learn from this. We need to go. We need to stand. And maybe you are in that place where you think, do you know what? I'm not sure I have the strength. Do you ever get like that? Do you ever have a little bit of a pity party? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's only me has bad days. Anyone else have a bad day as Christians where you want to resign? Yeah? Okay. That's good. I'm glad I'm speaking to the right people. I thought it was just me. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's Timothy's very personal letter. Next time I come, I may actually preach in this passage. By the way, it may be good news or bad news, depending on your perspective. I'm back at the end of January, so you're going to hear me again. But Paul talks in 2 Timothy very personally about his experience and what's happening, and he's facing death in a Roman prison. And he says, let's pick up at verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Wow. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard when you feel that sense of being alone or you're battling on your own. But what a tremendous phrase. May it not be held against them. Oh, how gracious is that? I'm not sure I'd feel so gracious if everyone deserted me in a Roman prison. No satellite TV or snooker table. This is not comfort. But look at verse 17. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. You know what, folks? Even if you have to take a stand, even if that's where you are at the minute, and God, you feel as if you're really battling, and you say, you know what, I don't have the strength, I want to give up, I want to give in. God comes and says, even if everyone else deserts you, you know what, I'm standing by your side. I'm standing with you. Not just so that we have a nice moment. Because we like our moments, don't we, in church? You know, we like that little shalabanda moments. Come on, I'm a Pentecostal, so don't stone me. We like those little moments where we're, thank you, Jesus. And if we were allowed to do it, we're not. If we were allowed to do it, we'd have our lighters. And we'd have that little moment like they do. And we like our moments, don't we? Let's be honest about this. Thank you for your honesty. We like our moments. But it's not simply that we have an emotional experience, even in worship. Why? It's that through you the gospel might be fully proclaimed. When God asks you to stand and he comes along beside you, it's not for a little moment, it's for a message. It's not for a moment, it's for a message that through you the gospel might be fully proclaimed. So I encourage you to go. And if that go involves helping us at CAP, great. If it involves coming with me to India or Pakistan, then let's talk about that. Who knows where God's sending you to? Who knows where God's asking you to stand with confidence that God is with you? And the final one, go stand. What was the third word? Tell. Well done. Go stand and tell. He says, tell them this message of new life. Come on. If there's anywhere I can preach this message, it's got to be here, huh? It's the very name of the church. Come on, this is the message you have. Now, I'm a Pentecostal, so I don't apologize for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to give you an opportunity to receive prayer today, if that's appropriate to respond. There's lots of things that I'll negotiate on. There's lots of things I'll compromise on and say, well, you have a different opinion about this. That's fine. But I do not negotiate on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can proclaim this message of new life. What is this message? That Jesus came to die for our sins, that he rose again, that when he ascended to the Father, he poured out the Holy Spirit on us. Therefore, repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the full message of the new life. And then Jesus will come back again one day. You look at the gospel in the book of Acts, that's the kerygma, that's the message of the gospel. All of those components, including the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you look at the book of Acts, when it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens? It says they preach the word of God boldly. Every time, it's not about tongues, though I speak in tongues and we encourage people to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues. But in the book of Acts, it's not primarily about tongues. It's about the boldness to preach the gospel. And Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit twice in one day. Read it, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, and Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Peter's filled with the Spirit twice in one day, and it says he spoke the word of God boldly. We need the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit to proclaim this message of new life. Because the people I see in the debt center, their lives are in a mess. It's not just about the finances. Their whole lives are generally in a mess. They need the freedom that comes from the Holy Spirit. As Sean said, as he's finding out, as he seeks to take that really out into the community, people certainly need freedom from financial debt, but it's not simply about that. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord, the Sovereign Lord is on me. Came to set the captives free. We've heard that a lot. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Did you know that? This is not so much to do with the message, but it's a little pet hate of mine. Permit me for 30 seconds. I hate it when I hear churches that have messages of judgment on this nation, that have messages pointing the finger, that have messages of condemnation. Because according to Jesus, we're living in the day of God's grace and favour. Because we still have an opportunity to repent. And truthfully, the people Sean meets, the people I meet, they need a message of good news. They need a message of hope. They need a message of new life. Not that you're a miserable sinner going to hell. While that may be technically true, they know that already. That's why they're trying to fill their life with drink, drugs and chocolate and whatever else. Because they know their lives are empty. We have a good news. We have message of new life. Let's not start pointing the finger at them because we know there's three pointing back at us when we do. Let's have message of hope and of life. Jesus said he came to give people life. Life in all its fullness. John 10 verse 10. Don't compromise on your value and your belief in the Holy Spirit. You're a Pentecostal church. Keep believing it. Keep practicing it. As I said earlier, one of the things that I do with mission is travel and go to some of these countries. And I can tell you, it's not always easy. Pakistan that I went to earlier in the year was a challenge. They refused me a visa 2 years ago on my British passport. There's a story. So, because I'm from Belfast, as is Christine, we have the ability to have an Irish passport. It's true. So I went and got my Irish passport, and that's a big thing given my cultural background. As a Protestant brought up in Belfast, you never have an Irish passport. We're British. That's how we were brought up. So for me to get an Irish passport, I still haven't told my family. So I hope they don't listen to your podcast. So I thought, I'm going to reapply on my Irish passport. Thank you, Jesus. God loves the Irish. Huh? Isn't that true, Scotty? You know that's true. It's true. He's okay with the Scottish as well. English. We have to work on that. But I got my visa and my Irish passport. And over the last couple of years I've been doing, I've mentioned this before, some of the ministry through Skype into Pakistan where we've done evangelistic crusades through Skype. Absolutely incredible. Seen hundreds of people saved through Skype. Healings, first time I did it, 187 people were saved and 7 people were healed. So I knew God was in it, but I still wanted to go. So a couple of months ago, I took the trip, and the challenge of that is that we have to pay for everything, basically. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. Financially, we're only a very small charity. We don't have a lot of income. We have to make best use of our resources. But I knew God had told me to go. I knew it was right in God. But I had to stand. I had to stand. My standing meant getting on my knees quite a lot. And so I said, okay, God, you've told me to go. You're going to have to resource this. You're going to have to provide for this financially. And part of what God said to me was, give everything that's in the charity bank account to the ministry in Pakistan. You're going to need it for the ministry there when you go. Come on, truthfully. I wrestled with that. That wasn't an easy thing to do. Give everything. Eventually I obeyed, because you never win an argument with God. And God has blessed us, and we had all our needs met, and I'm back to India for some ministry in March, and we'll be back to Pakistan, God willing, next September again. In between times, we're going to continue with the evangelistic ministry through Skype and the teaching and the leadership development. So God's been very gracious, but do pray for me, because we do have needs, and it's well beyond what I can do and provide for or even cope with, truly. It's quite a challenging area. But when I went, we did lots of crusades, and it's incredible to see how hungry people are for God. Just preaching the gospel and seeing crowds respond, seeing people who are demonized set free, We prayed for several people. I saw two blind people healed. Not through someone else, not a big international ministry, not something I'd read about in the book, in front of me, Colin. Right in front of me was people I'd prayed for. That's very humbling. It is, because I know me, and my wife knows me. We're very ordinary people. Honestly, we're seeking to live for Jesus to the best of our ability, but we're very ordinary people. And yet God in His mercy is healing blind people, people with neck problems instantly healed, people with back problems, people with shoulder problems, people with stomach problems, all sorts of stuff. We saw lots and lots of healings. We saw lots of people getting saved. And one of the things that I've learned, and I think we have to learn, no one is too far to be reached by God. Sometimes we write people off, don't we? Let's be honest, we do. We think of our neighbour and we think, oh yeah, John, he's a nice guy. He'd really do well in church. And we think of Billy up the road, who we know is an alcohol problem or maybe a drug problem. We think, oh, I'm not going to talk to Billy because he won't listen. But actually, truthfully, what you find is that people who have those problems, within 5 minutes, they'll tell you all their problems and their life story. Because they want to be listened to. They want to be valued. And my encouragement to you is to tell the message of new life, not to the people you think will accept it, but to the people who you know need it. And that's the difference. Don't put containments. Don't put barriers. Don't put things where you say, oh, well, they'll not be interested. Don't say people's no for them. Our responsibility is to go into highways and the byways. And what does Jesus say? Compel them to come in. Your responsibility is in the ask. Your responsibility is in the invitation. Your responsibility is to be witnesses. The disciples go on to say, how can we not tell about what we have seen and heard? Have you a testimony? Have you experienced that amazing grace? Is He Lord of your life? Then you have a message. You have a story. You have something to tell. If God has forgiven you, then you have a message of new life. No person is too far gone. No person is excluded from the opportunity. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I will never drive away. Folks, as you pray, as you consider, you've heard me say this before and I'll probably say it again. What are you going to do in response to this message? When I preach, I don't preach simply for information. I'm not trying to fill your head with knowledge or fancy Greek words or great theology, although I hope something in there is of help to you. But it's not about information, it's about transformation. So what are you going to do with this message? I don't know how God's speaking to you. Where do you need to go? Where do you need to go? Who do you need to go to? Where do you need to stand in your life? Is it your faith? Is it your finances? Is it considering your future? Is it your family? I don't know where you need to stand. And like me, your standing may involve getting on your knees. You know, one of the things, let me encourage you, one of the things, when I made the decision, would give everything to the ministry in Pakistan, I was on my knees quite a lot, as you can imagine. And someone came to me with a prophetic word and said, we've been praying and God's showed us a picture of you on your knees praying for resources and finances. And God said, we have to give you £1,000 for the ministry. What a great encouragement. I can tell you what, there was tears in my eyes and there was tears in theirs. Because I said, you don't know how much that means to me. God knows. I took my stand. Where do you need to take your stand? And finally, who do you need to tell? Where do you need to proclaim that message of new life? And as Peter says, we do it with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. We have to do it in the right way. Not raving lunatics. They already think that anyhow. But we have to do it with gentleness and respect so that we can win outsiders. But where will you go? Where will you stand? Where will you tell? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your word that encourages us, that challenges us, that causes us to need to be stretched as we serve you. God, help each one of us not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers. To actually commit today to doing something with what you have spoken into our life. As individuals and as a church, may we be committed to go, to stand, and to tell the glory of your name. Amen. You said if you'd like some prayer ministry after the close of the service, then we'd love to do that. We'd love to pray for you and just encourage you and see how God speaks into your life. Thank you.